This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 15, Text 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Please repeat after me. Dharayan mayayam. Sorry. Dharayan mayaham tatve. Dharayan mayaham tatve. Mano vaikarike kilam. Mano vaikarike kilam. Sarvendriyanam atmatvam. Sarvendriyanam atmatvam. Praptim prapnoti manmana. Praptim prapnoti manmana. Dharayan mayaham tatve. Mano vaikarike khilam. Sarvendriyanam atmatvam. Praptim prapnoti manmana. Dharayan mayaham tatve. Mano vaikarike khilam. Sarvendriyanam atmatvam. Praptim prapnoti manmana. Translation. Fixing his mind completely on me within the element of false ego generated from the mode of goodness, the yogi obtains the power of mystic acquisition, by which he becomes the proprietor of the senses of all living entities. He obtains such perfection because his mind is absorbed in me. Commentary. It is significant that in order to acquire each mystic perfection, one must fix one's mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that those who pursue such perfections without fixing the mind on the Supreme Lord acquire a gross and inferior reflection of each mystic potency. Those who are not conscious of the Lord cannot actually synchronize their minds perfectly with the universal functions, and therefore cannot elevate their mystic opulences to the universal platform. Om Adhyantirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Mukham Kradoti Vachalam Pongom Langayate Kirim Yatkrapa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatharanam Shri Rupa Shri Sanatana Bhattaraguna Shri Jiva Gopal Bhatta Dasa Raguna Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Nadati Sabarantigam Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Name Gaurudvishe Namaha Tava Sri Radhikanatha Karmana Manasagiram Krishna Kante Tavaivasmi Yuvame Vagatir Mama Govinda Valave Radhe Parthaye Tamam Sada Tvariyayati Janatu Govindo Mamtayasaha
Radhe Vrindavanadishe Karunam Vritavahini Kripaya Nijapadajadasyam Mahyam Pradiyatam Tavaivasmi Najivani Tvayavina Iti Vigyaya Devi Tvam Nayanam Charanantikam Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
So in these verses we continue to hear the descriptions of the mystic yoga perfections, which is in fact the title of this chapter. In this verse we learn that by meditating not just on the material element, as we heard of in previous verses, but on the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, who gives potency to the element, then one can achieve, in fact, far greater power or opulence. Krishna says, Sarvasya chaham hridi sani vishto, that I am seated in the heart of all living beings. He's seated there as Paramatma. But not only is he seated within the heart of every living being, he is in fact within every atom. And not only is he within every atom, he is between every atom. And it is in fact the Supreme Lord, Paramatma, who gives potency to the atoms that they can function as they do within the universe. Everything is composed of atoms. How are those atoms held together? Why do they bind? And the atoms vibrate at different frequencies. They create different substances. Metal, stone, paper, plastic. These are combinations of atoms vibrating at different frequencies. How do they vibrate at those frequencies? How do they have that power? If you look at an atom closely, I haven't done it, but you'll see that it is spinning. There's a nucleus that is spinning in an orbit. It is a microcosm of the macro universe. Just as the universe is consisting of space and planets that orbit within a fixed cycle according to gravitational and other principles, so the atom is spinning and orbiting in different cycles. Electron. Okay, thank you. How does it have the power to do that? The atom has great power, that we have, human society has learned in more recent history, how to split the atom and unleash amazing, colossal power that has the potency to destroy entire cities, or has the potency to power, nuclear energy, to power entire cities by splitting a single atom. Such power. Where does that power come from? Paramatma is within every atom. Otherwise, how is that atom vibrating? And only because the Lord is there. In the beginning of creation, Brahmaji started. He's a secondary creator, so he's putting things together. Different demigods, they are given function as the ruler of the different elements. The different elements, the different, they're deities. Varuna rules the water. And the deity that he worships is Matsya. Bhumi Devi rules the earth element. The deity she worships is Varaha Devi. Vayu rules the air. Agni rules fire. So different devas, they are responsible for these elements, these powerful elements that we have, that this entire material manifestation is consists of, essentially. Bhumir aho nalo vayor kamano budire vacha ahankara iti ame binahu pratirastada. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Krishna says, these are my external, inferior potencies. And they're all endowed with specific qualities that are unique qualities. In ether, then sound travels. In air, we have a sense of touch. You can feel the air. You cannot see it. You cannot smell it. You cannot taste it. But you can feel it. How do you know it's there? I can feel it. So you can feel the air. That is the unique quality of that element. Sound travels through the ether. That is the unique quality of that element. So we enjoy sounds. We enjoy feelings, touch. And we can see fire. We have fire in our eyes. And there is fire coming from the sun. And it lights all things. And sometimes you'll be sitting on one side of the room, minding your own business. And then you turn and you see that someone's looking at you. And they're looking right into your eyes and you're looking right into their eyes. And how did that happen? Right across the room. You felt them looking at you. And how did you feel that? You got burnt. Laser. Nyaya Shastra explains there's fire in the eyes. So and we can taste the water, we can smell the earth. So all of these elements have their unique qualities and gifts. But where do they get that potency? In the beginning of creation, during Brahma's secondary creation, the elements didn't have those potencies. Can you imagine fire without the potency of sight and air without the quality of touch? Water without the quality of taste and earth without... They didn't have it. Demigods are trying to do their jobs. To bind things and hold things together, and it just all falls apart. There's nothing. There's no way to to pull these things together, to establish these things that we take for granted and expect them to be. The physical laws of nature, they didn't function as such. So what did they do? What do the devotees always do when we realize, I'm very small and insignificant, and I don't have the capacity to fulfill this task? It is only Krishna. Only by Krishna's mercy can anything be done. We become so prone to thinking of ourselves as the doer. Ahankara vimudatma karta aham iti manyate. Krishna says, bewildered by false ego, we think we are the doer of activities that are actually performed by the material nature. Because every time we open our mouth and we vocalize something, sound comes out, we come to expect and think that we are doing that. And because when we desire to get up from the chair and we lift ourselves up, and it actually happens, then we think that we're doing that, and we desire to lift a book, and we're able to hold it into the air, we think we do it. But it's Krishna who does all of that. We think we want to do it, Krishna responds and gives us the ability. I am the ability in human being, in people, Krishna says in the Gita. We desire it, Krishna sanctions, and we're able to perform it. But in one second it can be taken from us. In 1 second, in less than a second, all of that ability that we may be so proud of, that talent, that skill, can be taken from us in a fraction of a moment. That is Krishna's gift to us, that we can do all of these things. And it is Krishna's gift that the elements and the material nature, they are potent. The devas went to Krishna. They go to a particular manifestation of Krishna, that is the maintainer of this material world, material universe. Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, these are three murtis who oversee the functioning of this material nature as creator, maintainer and destroyer. So Vishnu, the maintainer, he resides at where? He resides at Shvetadvip, or the milk ocean. So they went to him, the devas there, accustomed to going there. The milk ocean, chanting prayers of glorification. And these prayers are very significant in relation to the verse we're discussing. Sahasra shirsha purushaha, sahasra kshas sahasra pat, sabhumin vishvato vritva, atyatishtadda sangulam, purusha eve ragam sarvam, yatkincha jagatyam jagat, tena tyaktena bunjita, magritha kasvasvidhanam. The Purusha Shukta prayer describes the universe as the Lord, with many, many thousands and thousands of heads and tongues and eyes. Purusha eva, he's present everywhere. Sarvam, in everything. In this way, his glory is spread. Eta vanasya mahima atojaya damsta saha. In this way, his glory is manifest. It is all him. And the devas describe in the Purusha Shukta prayer their desire to make a sacrifice. They desire to make a sacrifice because from the performance of sacrifice, all good things are generated. Without sacrifice, nothing is achieved. You want to achieve, do sacrifice. Anything you want to achieve, it requires sacrifice. You want good education, sacrifice. You want good relationships, sacrifice. You want a good job, sacrifice. You want good return in your job, sacrifice. Anything that you want to do, it requires sacrifice. The devas made sacrifice, understanding this principle. It is a universal principle. They made sacrifice because they wanted to derive the fruit of this great manifestation of the universe. So what did they take to sacrifice? They took the Supreme Lord as a calf and sacrificed that calf. And then you can be scared. They take the Lord as a calf and sacrifice the Lord as an offering to the Lord. It sounds strange. You take God, make him your calf, and then submit that calf as a sacrificial offering. Why would they do that? Because everything is the Lord. There is nothing but the Lord. And so, what are the sacrifices to be taken or to be made? The best sacrifice, and in fact the only sacrifice that can be made, in Bharat, in India, when people worship the Danga, they take flowers, they take milk. But the better offering, the greater offering, and the most common offering of people who worship the Ganges is to take Ganges water in their hands and to hold it to their chest and make a prayer of devotion and pour that water into the Ganges. And why? Because there's no better offering than Ganges water itself. What are your flowers and milk compared to Ganges water? And so when the devas made their sacrificial offering, what better offering is there than the Lord Himself? So they offered the Lord to the Lord. And it is not too difficult to understand. Every flower, every leaf, every fruit that you offer, where does it come from? It has come from Krishna. It belongs to Krishna. And in fact, it is Krishna's energy. It is Krishna. And you can be confused and say, oh, now you're telling me that God is a mango. Now you're telling me that God is a flower or an orange. And that's it. Worship the mango as the supreme Godhead. No. Apply some intelligence. Understand simultaneous oneness and difference, the distinction and the sameness. If someone takes a recording of Indrajumna Swami singing kirtan, and you ask me, what is that? Who is that? We'll say, it is Indrajumna Swami. And you say, oh, you are saying that Indrajumna Swami is a recording? Indrajumna Swami is a CD? Yes, it is Indrajumna Swami, but Indrajumna Swami, the original personality, is also here. Both things. And so Krishna and his energy, they are one, they are also different. And so some may focus on the energy. Krishna says, my inferior energy, bhumiraho nalova, this is my inferior energy. Inferior energy. Some focus there, all of their attention. But the devotee sees, even the Uttama Adhikari sees everyone as a devotee. How? The materialist is absorbed in the material inferior energy. The Uttama Adhikari, the transcendental vision, sees everything in relation to Krishna. And so they see the materialist so much interested in the material nature, and they say, well, how interested they are in Krishna. This one is so much attracted to Krishna's feature as sound. That one is so much interested in Krishna's feature as form and shape. That one, so much absorbed, dedicated to Krishna's feature as taste or smell. We are seeing it as a separate material energy. The Uttama Adhikari cannot see it as any way separated. So the gross materialist who is so absorbed in the material nature, they say, what dedication they have to Krishna. If only I could be so determined and dedicated and so much in love with Krishna as this gross materialist. That is the vision of the Uttama Adhikari, of course the gross materialist. Is of a different nature. They are not seeing the connections. They don't know that, as I was describing, that at the beginning of creation, when the demigods are trying to create and manifest things and nothing holds, and they go to Kiridakashayi Vishnu, the maintainer, they say, what to do? And what does he do? He expands into every one of those elements, into every one of these great Buddhas or elements that make our world so interesting and diverse and varied, colorful, appealing, attractive. Krishna manifests there. And fire became bright. Can you imagine fire any other way? No. But it was. Without Krishna, fire is not bright or warm. Hot. And water became tasty. And earth became so aromatic and fragrant. supply its fragrance to all the fruits and flowers and vegetables that we offer to Krishna and enjoy. Only because of Krishna manifesting himself, of course they are already from Krishna, but then he manifests himself there directly as Kirdakashaya Vishnu expands as Paramatma. Paramatma, Kirdakashaya Vishnu, the maintainer, they are non-different. And because of his presence everywhere, then we have shape, form, taste, smell. And without it, nothing. And so here the yogi is advised, don't just meditate on the element. That will not be so fruitful. Yeah, you will get great power. You will be endowed with great power, mystic power. You will have power over that element, mind over matter. You focus your attention on that element in deep meditation. You will achieve mastery over the element, because matter is the inferior nature. Bhumirapo nalovayor kamano buddhirevata ahankara itiyam ne bhina prakritarastara. These eight elements are my inferior nature. But aside from that, appareyam vitaspamyam prakritim vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabaho yayedam daryate jagat. I have another nature that is superior. And the superior nature has power over the inferior nature, and that superior nature is called jiva. That superior nature is called you and me. Krishna has given us authority, power to control and manipulate that inferior nature, and we can do it physically, and we can do it mentally. And the yogi perfects the art of doing it mentally. But Bhagavan is saying, hey, but there's something even better than that. You can control and manipulate some little material nature here. But if you meditate on the Lord, who in fact gives potency to that material nature, then you can achieve even more. And you can get universal mastery. I can manipulate this little piece of wood, right, with my hands. I can get a saw, I can get a hammer, I can do things with it. Through meditation, I can manipulate this wood in a similar way, but without having to have any physical contact. But if I meditate on Paramatma, who gives potency to wood, not this wood, but to wood, or to fire, or to water, I can have mastery over all wood, all water, all fire, everywhere. The commentary speaks of synchronizing. Those who are not conscious of the Lord cannot actually synchronize their minds perfectly with the universal functions, and therefore cannot elevate their mystic opulences to the universal platform. Krishna is the common principle binding everything together. Later on, this chapter will speak of the Narayan factor. The Narayan factor is the common principle that binds everything together. We may see distinction here and there, but the commonality to it all is Krishna. So the yogi, by meditating on the Lord, specifically in relation to that element, Varahadev controls the earth as its ruler, Matsya controls the water. Each element has its deity. By meditating on Paramatma in relation to that element, with the blessings and sanction of the Lord, the yogi can control that element throughout the entire universe. And so, Dhruva Maharaj, through his meditation, choked the entire universe. People couldn't breathe. whether it was unconsciously or unconsciously, he was meditating on Vasudeva. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narada Muni met him on his way to the forest. Hey little boy, where are you going? I'm going to the forest to pray to God. Why? Because I want a kingdom greater than my father or my grandfather. That's quite impossible because your grandfather is Lord Brahma, who rules the universe. So what are you going to do? No, I'm determined. I want a kingdom greater than my grandfather. Just go back home. You're a little 5-year-old boy. Hey, I'm going to the forest to meet God to get a kingdom better than my grandfather's. If you don't want to help me, we don't need to talk. That's what I'm doing. If you can help me, then we have something to talk about. And Narada Muni said, very good, I was testing you. Now I'm ready to help you. Seeing how determined you are, because this thing is going to require a lot of determination. You go to Vrindavan. Where did he meditate? Which forest of Vrindavan? Maruvan. You go to Maruvan, not Maruvan colony, but Maruvan original forest, and meditate there. And you chant this mantra. So what mantra did Dhruva Maharaj chant? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And he controlled his functions of eating, sleeping, breathing. And he gained such control that when he stopped breathing, the universe stopped breathing. There was no air to breathe anywhere. And then God's there in charge of ruling the universe. What's going on? There's no air. Right? When the temple, something happens, the pipe bursts somewhere. Devotees say, what's going on? There's no water. Go to Aniruddha Prabhu. So there's no air in the universe. And then goes, what's going on? Dhruva's doing meditation and he achieves such a high level of mastery. Now the universe has no air. Go to Brahma. Brahma, I can't do anything about this. Go to Vishnu. And so Vishnu manifests before Dhruva. What was Dhruva's conclusion? He achieved such a high level of mystic yoga. When he saw Krishna, he said, I was wasting my time. I was looking for material opulence. And he was looking for gross material opulence. A kingdom greater than his grandfather's. And Krishna so expertly fulfilled that desire. How could he? Brahma controls the whole universe. How could he fulfill a desire and expectation to have a kingdom in this world greater than Brahma's? By giving him his own place, Svetadvipa. The abode of Kirdakashai Vishnu was given to Dhruva to rule. And he continues to rule. It is called Dhruva Loka, the planet of Dhruva. And you can see it at night, each morning and each evening. You see the evening star, the first star that appears on the horizon. Sometimes called the northern star. Sometimes called the evening star. Otherwise called the pole star. Called the pole star because every planet in this universe circumambulates that central pivot. The abode of Kirdakashai Vishnu, the planet of Dhruva. Vishnu gave him that planet because of his mastery. But Dhruva's conclusion was, that was foolish. That was a waste of time. That was driven by false ego. Wanting to gain mastery over the physical resources of the world in a gross way or in a physical way, that is still driven by false ego. even if it is in a subtle way. Dhruva said, I was seeking broken pieces of glass. But now that I see you, and my heart has opened to you in love and devotion, now I've discovered the real jewel. And so the yogi who meditates on the element, and not only the element, but Paramatma within the element, to gain mastery over the universal function of that element, is still wasting their time and missing the point. The real point is not to meditate on Paramatma to gain control over a material nature. That is foolish. The real point, the real benefit, the real value can be had by meditating on Paramatma with love, with devotion. This Krishna reveals in the Gita, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Madhyaji Mamna Maspuru Mamivai Jasiuk Vaivam Atmanam Matpadayana Mamivai Jasi Satyamte Pratijani Priyosime. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, not as Paramatma. At least not necessarily as Paramatma. That is Krishna. Be my devotee, Madbhakto. Be my devotee. Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer your pranam to me. Is better. Meditating on Krishna in this way is better than the yogi meditating on Paramatma within the heart with such deep concentration and self-control. Even you say, well, I cannot always think of Krishna manmana bhava with such devotion. Krishna says, don't worry, just be my devotee, madbhakto. The pure devotee is always thinking of Krishna, absorbed, and they chant Harinam, Kirtaniya Sada Hari, constantly. Madbhakta, that is the devotee. You say, I cannot do that. Krishna says, no problem. Madhyaji, worship me, come to the temple and do some worship. Offer some flowers, some incense. You say, I cannot do that. I cannot be at the temple every day for every arti and be so absorbed like a pujari, physically active, engaging the senses in your service. Krishna says, okay, mam namaskuru, you offer your pranam to me. Something you do. And if you do that with devotion and faith and love and a desire to please Krishna, you will come to the higher level. The one who just puts their hands together each day and offers pranam, mam namaskuru, namaskar, to Krishna, with devotion, with bhakti, or an aspiration for bhakti, a desire to achieve bhakti, is better situated than the great yogi who has control, mastery over their mind and senses, and is able to manipulate the physical material elements at a local or universal level. The conditioned soul who has an aspiration for prema bhakti, although they are still conditioned by their senses and desire to enjoy the sense objects. The conditioned soul who is still conditioned with material attachments, but who has an aspiration for premi bhakta, Premi bhakti, prema bhakti. It's a pure love for Krishna. In the mood of the residents of Vrindavan, as taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who every day just offers their pranam to Krishna. They're better situated than this great mystic yogi. Because by doing that every day, mam namaskuru, you come to the point of madhyaji, that you can worship Krishna with all your resources, physical, emotional, spiritual. And by doing that with sincerity, keeping your mind fixed on the goal, I want to love Krishna. Krishna, let me learn to love you. You will come to the point of a fully devoted bhakta. And we are speaking bhakta of the highest caliber. Who can 24 hours a day be absorbed in hearing about, remembering, thinking, glorifying Krishna. And by doing that, you'll come to the level of Manmana Bhava. The residents of Vrindavan, who don't even think of themselves as devotees of Krishna, but are constantly thinking of Him with the highest, most intimate love. Mother Yasoda doesn't think of herself as Krishna's devotee. She doesn't wear tilak and go to Mangalarti, saying prayers to Krishna, although there's the deity of Varahadeva and Nrisingadeva and Narayan in the house. She's not offering prayers like that to Krishna. But she's constantly thinking of Krishna. And she is the highest devotee, topmost devotee. The topmost devotee doesn't know that they are the topmost devotee. They constantly think of Krishna. And the devotion is such that Nanda Maharaj says, "Hey Kanaya, bring my shoes." And Krishna jumps up with so much happiness and eagerness and places those shoes on his head and comes with his stumbling baby steps to Nanda Baba and places the shoes before him. And when he sees Nanda Baba come into the house, he wants to bring a pillow for him to sit on. And he's pulling the pillow and it's too heavy and he's falling over. Pulling and falling over. And someone else says, "Kanaya, let me help you." "No! I want to take it." And Mother Yasoda is chasing him with a stick. She's holding him, caressing him to her chest and feeding him her breast milk. She's taking butter and yogurt and other food preparations in her own hand and placing it into his mouth. Controlling a little material element. Manipulating the material element on a universal scale, it is nothing compared to this. Krishna is the source of all of those elements. He is the potency within the elements. And here Krishna is the servant of his devotee who doesn't know that they're his devotee. Bringing shoes of his father on his head. Running in fear, crying real tears of fear. Breathing quickly that his pearl necklace is jumping on his chest, moving on his chest. And his kajal is smeared with from tears. He has black lines running down his cheeks. And he's sneaking through the forest to meet with the gopis, to meet with Srimati Radharani, and fearful of being discovered by the friends of Radharani's rival, fearful of being discovered by his mother-in-law, Radharani's mother-in-law, the sister-in-law, Jatila Kotila. But he's taking all of these risks because of these devotees who love him so much. These devotees love him so much and he's become a dancing puppet, dancing to their tune. Someone asks, where is Krishna? Oh, Vrinda, where is Krishna? Radharaniya, where is Krishna? Krishna is down by Radha Kund. So what is he doing? He's dancing. What is the music that he's dancing to? He's dancing to the music of thoughts of you. Seeing your reflection in every puddle or body of water, reflected in every leaf of every tree, he's moving and dancing, desirous of your association. So that is the real, that is real power. But the devotee doesn't do it for power. That's the thing. You do something because you want to be happy, which generally won't make you happy. That's what the research shows. You do something as an offering of service, of love, that will make you so fulfilled. You have a classroom, you say, over the weekend we have an over the next week we have an assignment. Do something really fun, really pleasurable. And do something as a service. Do something altruistic. We meet a week later. Tell me what you did. Oh, I went to Disneyland. I went surfing. I did this or that. And what did you do altruistic? I volunteered at some charity or some community effort. Which was more fulfilling and satisfying? The majority, 99%, they always say that they got greater happiness through service. That's a material example. The devotee doesn't want the power. The yogi does. The devotee doesn't want the power, but they achieve the highest power. The power of love. The yogi wants it, but they get it at a really high level compared to the material perspective. By material perspective, by spiritual perspective, it's nothing. And what for? Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale asanta. Krishna bhakta nishkama ateva shanta bhukti mukti sirikami sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakta, the devotee of Krishna, nishkama, they have no desire. Krishna bhakta nishkama, no desire. Ateva shanta, therefore ateva, peaceful. The devotee has no desire, therefore peaceful. And the bhukti, the material sense enjoyer, the mukti, the one who wants liberation, siddhi, the one who seeks mystic perfection, powers. Shakale, all of them, ashanta, not peaceful. They are not peaceful. And so, whatever you're doing, following Srila Prabhupada, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whatever you're doing, whatever little effort you're making, if you have clear sight of the goal, that you want to love Krishna, and you only want to love Krishna, and you understand I may have some distractions and conditioning and attachments that are in the way right now, but I'm very determined, I'm very clear about what I want. Whatever you're doing towards that, you're sitting here this morning at Srimad Bhagavatam class, you're coming for Guru Puja, you're coming to take prasad, you're doing some service in the temple, you're making some donations, some offering. Whatever you're doing at home, you have an altar, you're offering everything before eating it. Whatever you're doing towards that goal, it is so much more valuable, so much more worthwhile than any material endeavor whether it's gross or subtle. And all we can do is just encourage you. Do more. And stay steady and stay determined and stay focused. Your gradual determined effort with the help of devotees, in the association of devotees, with the direction and guidance of your spiritual master, with guidance from Srila Prabhupada's writings. Whatever you're doing, do more. Gradually, slowly, determinedly. Remain focused and driven. And that is called pure devotee. There is a mixed devotee that is like a city. He's worshipping Paramatma, but he wants material powers over the elements. The bhakti may come and worship Krishna, but are they seeking prema bhakti? No. They want material blessings. They're mixed devotees. The pure devotee may still have material attachments, conditioning, engagement, entanglement in the material nature. But their goal is prema bhakti, to love Krishna. They are pure devotees. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, how many pure devotees are there on the earth? Prabhupada turned to his secretary and said, how many members are in ISKCON now? This is a society for pure devotees. People who want to achieve prema bhakti. They have no other goal in their worship of Krishna. So try to be a pure devotee. That's what Prabhupada and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are offering. That's what Krishna is coaching us and imploring us to do in the pages of Gita. Nothing less. Nothing more. Just love me. Whatever level you're at, love me and try to deepen that love. That's what Bhagavatam is offering. Any comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu. We can always count on you for a comment or a question.
First of all, I want to congratulate you for a wonderful and profound scholarly lecture about this Bhagavatam. And when you were saying about sacrifices, you can see the sacrifice of Adi for the whole song, how he established his comment and how he died. I was reading Bhaktivinoda Swami's book about it. He said his daughter in 1808 told that atom is not individual, that is ultimate thing. But now we know that atom is individual, electron, nitrogen, neutron, proton, so many things. So scientists always boast so much, but we know that their theory always changes.
True.
So, it's amazing. Now, I study personally taste sensation, the various nerves, how to conduct the taste into the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But we were doing only from a material point of
view. Yeah.
We went from the electron microscope picture of the tongue, you know, taste bud,
yeah,
and how the taste buds, how the stimulus goes,
yeah,
into the brain, those various different nerves.
Yeah.
But what we now, Prabhupada's philosophy, understand how important it is to know that the taste comes from Lord Krishna.
Yeah.
That's a very profound word.
Yeah.
We see that now, daughter said, atom is individual. Now we know that Krishna is made DNA, RNA. So nicely, and everybody's RNA and DNA is completely separate.
The individual, yeah.
So we can work out from saliva.
Yeah.
So we can see how much Bhagavatam knew so much about the knowledge, but the scientists didn't know anything.
Yeah. Therefore, we should give all our intelligence to study Srimad Bhagavatam. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanam.